welcome to Writers After Dark. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and as always, good stories start with the writers, since wherever there's a story, someone's either making it up or writing it down. And my special guest today is thriller author Robert Crace, and we're talking about his latest book, A Dangerous Man. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, Summer. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, I will admit to a bit of fangirlishness because you are one of my favorite thriller authors ever.
Oh, thank you.
And I have said it before, and I will say it again. I both love and hate your Elvis Cole, Joe Pike books because I love getting one. I love being forced to read through them so fast, and I hate that they end so quickly.
Well, listen, Summer, my books love you. So it's you're so kind to say that, you know, I don't think there's a better review to be had.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about A Dangerous Man. As always, Joe Pike finds himself in trouble, and he and Elvis resolve that trouble. What is it about those two guys that keeps you writing all of these amazing stories about them time after time?
I think they're probably the guys I wish I were. I find them, you know, I'm just a guy who sits in a room typing. They lead much more interesting lives, and I find them fascinating. I like to say when I started writing these books, and this is A Dangerous Man is my 22nd novel. It's my 18th Elvis Cole, Joe Pike novel. And when I started writing these things, Elvis and Joe were a few years older than me. Now, all this time later, they're many years younger than me. But they embody the types of traits I admire. And I find them fully formed, fully fleshed characters that I am still learning about. And as long as I'm still learning about them, I think they'll be fresh to me, and I'll have more stories to write.
Well, that's good news for me.
You know, look, they're thrillers, they're detective novels, but over time, Elvis and Joe have become, I want to say have become real to me, but I know they're fictional characters, but their lives have a depth and a texture because the canvas after 18 novels, there's a lot of information about these guys. There's a lot of emotions that we've seen in them. So I find their characters multifaceted. I wouldn't have written them if I didn't find them fascinating, if I didn't find them interesting guys, the kind of heroes that I can root for. And I've never seemed to run out of stories. I'll never write all the story ideas that I have. I just don't have time to do that. I won't live that long. But the fact of the matter is, in every book, I learn something new about them. I see something that makes me fall more deeply in love with those guys. So that's what compels me to keep writing. They seem inexhaustible to me, which is a good thing for a writer like me to say, because they're my life work. But, I continue to be entertained by them. Readers, knock wood, continue to be entertained by them. And as long as we're all having a good time, I'll keep writing.
The thing that surprises and impresses me the most is that you still manage to find compelling adventures for them to fall into. And even though bad things might happen to them, to the people they're trying to help, they don't get so jaded that they stop wanting to be the hero these people need them to be. They are not afraid to continue to be that hero, even if it costs them something personally. And that that's the kind of hero we need in this world these days.
More than ever. And you're absolutely right. I mean, back in the beginning with my first novel, The Monkey's Raincoat, and in the months and years leading up to my writing that book, I considered many. I mean, I knew I wanted to write a novel. Back in those days, I was a TV writer. I was a baby TV writer. That's what my years in television is what I consider writing school. And during that time, when I was spitballing ideas with myself for writing a novel, I entertained many character possibilities, and I could have made Elvis Cole I could have made him a police officer, could have made him an FBI agent, Secret Service agent, ATF officer, on and on and on. Could have made him anything, a prosecutor even. I didn't want to do any of those things because if he was a police officer, an FBI agent, then he comes with that enormously powerful machine on his side, that machine that can work for him. And something about his character, what appealed to me about his character, that just didn't strike me as interesting enough. I wanted him on the outside where he could be a freelance operator, where he didn't have that huge, weighty, powerful machine working for him. He's on his own. Just him, Joe Pike, same deal. They're outsiders. They don't have that mammoth colossus behind them. They have to figure out a way to do it on their own. That gives them a freedom and makes them way more interesting to me as a writer. And I think that's one of the things that's allowed me to sustain the energy in the series for as many books as I have. I don't want to be that writer where everyone is saying, oh, Christ, you know, here comes a new Elvis Cole novel. Who can stand right? You know, I don't want to read another one of those things, the same old thing over and over again. Oh, man, shoot me now. I don't want to be that guy. So, and luckily I haven't had to be, I think. I mean, the nature of the characters keeps offering up new stories, different insights, and as long as I find those guys this fascinating, I'm excited to. I'm already working on the next book, so I'm excited to keep it going.
Now, I know you've said for years that Elvis and Joe would never be sold to television, and since you started out in TV, would you create a character for TV these days? Because, you know, as a thriller fan, I kind of enjoyed the first two seasons of Bosch, and it made me wonder.
Well, look, there's some terrific television on now, and I'm an avid TV watcher. I mean, I'm a huge fan of a lot of shows. Mike Conley's in Bosch among them, but it's just not for me. I'm not the world's fastest writer, and to write novels is my dream come true. I enjoy it. I write novels because I love writing novels. And Elvis and Joe are my dream creations. Occasionally, as you know, I'll write a freestanding book that isn't part of Elvis and Joe's universe. But mostly it's Elvis and Joe, and I can't think of a way to spend my time which would be more fun. So, as long as I feel that way, I can't be tempted back into TV or movies. I just stay with writing these books because my fans are clamoring for more.
Yes, we are. So what other characters, I mean, how often do stories for the other characters you've created come along? I know there was Hostage and Demolition Angel and the one with the police dog. The canine.
Suspect, which was about the LAPD canine handler and his German Shepherd canine Maggie. And then the 2-minute rule, which was about a reformed bank robber. So that's 4 books out of 22. They don't come along often. Every once in a while, I'll get an idea, as I did with Suspect, about the canine dog that just grabs a hold so tight that a hold of me so tightly that I have to follow it through. And I love that when it happens, by the way. But mostly my thoughts are with Elvis Cole and Joe Pike. I mean, those guys have been in my head since the late 80s when I wrote The Monkey's Raincoat. They're with me every day. it's not because I need medication, but that they're who I think about, and I'm constantly writing a book about them. So they're really, you know, they're my characters. They're my life's work. But I would love to have another, and I'm sure I'll write another more standalone books. But I don't have those books on a particular schedule. They just happen along and bite me on the ankle, and then I have to shake until I let go.
Well, you said you had a lot of ideas, more ideas than you think you could write for, you know, Elvis and Joe adventures. Where do they spring from? Are they inspired by crimes you've read about in the news, or just weird stuff you hear happening, or just weird stuff that just pops into your head alongside them?
Weird stuff that just pops into my head, honestly. I mean, I never get an... All of my book ideas first start with a character image. I'll give you a couple of examples. A Dangerous Man. And I don't know where this came from, and I don't know why this particular image came about, but I had this image of a young woman who ended up being Isabel Rawlin in this novel, and she's trapped in a house, and she's screaming. And I know that there are menacing figures approaching her. And all I'm seeing is like shadow images, but I know there's these enormous, huge, menacing, threatening figures approaching her. And this terrified young woman is screaming over and over, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about this." And that was it. It wasn't like a dream at night. It was just a thought that came to me. But I could see her face clearly. It was Isabel. And I knew she was, whatever she was talking about, had no idea what it was, but I knew she was telling the truth. I could see it in her face, and I could hear it in her voice. You know, "I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about that." And so something about that image caught my attention. I mean, it dug in deep. And I started to wonder, well, what doesn't she know? What doesn't she know about? And that led to my thinking that, you know, all any of us know, you know, you, me, everybody, all we know about ourselves is what people tell us when we're kids. You know, what our parents tell us, what the adults in our lives tell us. And me, being paranoid author type, started thinking, well, what if they're lying? What if they're keeping secrets from us, you know, that mom and dad aren't really telling us everything? And the more I thought about that, the more excited I got. And one thing led to another, and pretty soon I could just see that this young woman, that same one who was screaming, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know what you're talking about," it just felt perfect and natural and right that Joe Pike needed to be the guy who would help her. You know, most of the 18 Elvis Cole Joe Pike novels are written from Elvis's point of view primarily. He's normally my main character. But every once in a while, I'll set a book where Joe Pike is the main character and Elvis becomes the sidekick. That seemed natural and normal here. I just saw Joe and Isabel together, Joe's commitment to helping her, seemed to be the driving force in this book, and it also seemed to be a way for me to more fully explore Joe Pike and the type of person he is. One thing led to another, and now I have a Dangerous Man.
Well, I am thankful for A Dangerous Man and for Isabel, because the push-pull between her and, not to get into spoilers here, what the bad guys wanted from her was teeth-grindingly tense. And
well, good summer, that's as it should be.
Because
and thank you for being careful in how you said that.
Yes, it's a twist I would not want to spoil, because it's one of those things where when you think back on some earlier stuff that happened in the book with the bad guys, and you're like, oh wow, that's one hell of a perspective, isn't it?
Isn't that what makes thrillers particularly fun to read? I mean, the things you don't see coming are the twists and turns you didn't expect. I mean, look, all writers are readers first. So I approach these books as a reader, not as a writer. First, I'm a reader, so I'm thinking as I write the thing, if I'm not going to be surprised and entertained and as a reader, then I can't expect my readers to share that thrill. So that's my goal when I try to write these things. I try to deliver the kind of read I would want to read if I was reading someone else's book.
Well, I hope you continue to have fun exploring both Joe Pike and Elvis Cole, because I'm a huge Joe Pike fan going way, way back, but that you want to continue to explore who these guys are and how they operate in the world, even when the world around them is changing, technology is changing. That, for me, is fun worth waiting for.
Well, me too. I agree. So hopefully the readers will continue to share our enthusiasm.
Awesome. Well, A Dangerous Man, out on your bookshelves August 6th. Go pick up a copy. As a Joe Pike fan, I recommend it. Robert, thank you so much for your time today.
Summer, it's been fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Full disclosure, I hadn't realized that I missed a Robert Crace book. The last one I have before this one came out was The Promise. I missed The Wanted, which I guess came out 2 years ago. So that's on me. I take full responsibility, because at the time I was wandering around the American Southwest, all my stuff in storage and mostly homeless. So I will not feel too bad about missing a Elvis Cole, Joe Pike adventure, because it means I have another one to read since I read A Dangerous Man so darn quickly. The other fun thing, when he said he wrote television, I learned of his writing through one of my all-time favorite TV shows, Miami Vice. He wrote several of the more complex episodes, so you should go check those out. Miami Vice is available on Hulu. Not that I've watched it. No, I watch that show now and then. It's funny. Three shows I enjoy are set in Miami. We have Miami Vice, we have CSI Miami, and we have Burn Notice. Fun shows. Another fun tidbit, you may or may not know, depending on how big a science fiction fan you are. If you've ever watched the TV series Farscape, the creators and main writers of that show are also big fans of Robert Crace, to the point where they named the main bad guy who's chasing Crichton around Crace. So yes, Crace in Farscape is named after author Robert Crace. So there you go. A little bit of sci-fi TV literature trivia for you tuck that away. You might win around in a pub quiz. You never know. But if you have any questions or comments about thrillers or obscure titles or obscure trivia about thriller authors, mystery authors, science fiction, comic books, feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can send me an email, summer@writersafterdark.com. You can listen to Writers After Dark on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Player FM. And if you could, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. Let people know you are enjoying the content here, and maybe other folks should check it out for themselves. You can follow on Twitter. We're at Write After Dark, WRITE After Dark. And there's always the website, writersafterdark.com. You can head on over there, check out some other interviews with other authors, other writers, other storytellers, and check out some of the reviews we've done. We've got graphic novel reviews, we've got audiobook reviews, we've even got some retro reviews coming along, so check those out. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting Writers After Dark, Slice of Sci-Fi, the Babylon Podcast, and all of the other podcasts I have my fingers in around the interwebs. Your support is greatly appreciated. It does help keep the lights on around here. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if you don't want to commit yet to a monthly pledge series, go ahead and donate every now and then through PayPal. The link there is paypal.me/scifisummer. And again, thank you for all of the support. It is truly greatly appreciated. I also want to throw a shout out to Shay Dawn and Sybin Quest for the music here on the show. If you want to check out any other compositions by them, their links to their respective sites are in the footer of the website here at writersafterdark.com. But that will do it for this episode. See you next time. And remember, keep looking for your own stories.